Luke 24:45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. What an amazing thing that God would open your mind, open your heart so that you could understand what he's saying. Excuse me. Wouldn't we all like to have the depth of the apostles? Wouldn't you like to be able to understand like they do? Isn't that why we read? Isn't that why we study? I mean, as elders and as teachers, we try to bring about an understanding in ourselves of what really Jesus was doing here. The concept of sitting down with the Son of God and having Him teach you and you understand the mindset of God, even if for only a moment. Wouldn't we all like to have that? Wouldn't we all like to understand the way that the apostles did? And I would say probably yes. That would be a drive of ours as teachers, as elders, as preachers, that we would want to be able to explain things the way that Jesus did, to teach things the way that the apostles did. That would be an amazing thing. And for the apostles, he opened their understanding that they would comprehend the scriptures. See, reading and comprehending is two different things. You can read something and not understand what you're reading, but when you read it and you start understanding the story and it plays in your mind as you're reading, that's a whole different ball game right there. Matthew 4:18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. These people had jobs. They had occupations. They had something to do with their life. They just weren't walking around looking for God and picking flowers and combing out the desert, right? These people had things they had to do. They had a family to provide for. They had people that counted on them. They had a house. Much like us, right? They had jobs. But when they encountered the living Christ, something different happened. You see, but when it comes to us, we're more afraid of losing our jobs than we are of understanding. See, one of the things that these people did, we want to have the depth of the apostles, but look what the apostles did. Now, I'm not saying we just quit our jobs. That's asinine. That's ridiculous. We couldn't do that. We have to provide. We have to live within the system of the world that we live in to some degree, right? We don't just sit around and wait for somebody to knock on our door to bring us food and money for our house note. But I want us to understand that when we look for the depth of the apostles, look at what the apostles did and look at what we do. How much of us is dedicated to God? How much of us has that apostolic mindset to follow God when it comes to losing our jobs versus understanding? We can almost see they walked away from their jobs, put their trust in Him, and we can see that the depth of the apostles, we can kind of see almost why that Jesus opened their minds. Luke 6:22 says, "Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you." We talked about that a little bit this morning. We talk about our experience in life where what we're doing is not the way that other people are doing it, and we can actually see the cost of that. That happens to everyone. That's a plague that we all go about, and in our jobs and in our friends. "And they cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake." We can look around and see that today. That as a Christian who stands up for Christ and goes with what the Bible said, people say that we are evil and certainly not following God. Well, they said the same thing of Jesus. when he cast out demons, and they said that, well, he casted out demons by the power of Beelzebub. They said that he casted out demons by the power of a demon. So don't think that they're just coming down on you. Don't think that you're doing anything wrong. When you stand for the Word of God, the world is going to oppose you. No question. Because they hate Jesus. Because the one that's behind this world, behind this flesh and all the riches of this world, he hates the fact that you are willing to serve a God that loves you the way that he does. Talking about Jesus, the way that he loves us. He hates that. But we're also more afraid of losing our friends and or our relationships than we are of understanding. Well, I tell you, if we're really looking for the depth of the apostles, and we're not getting it, just based on these two little scriptures here and an average mindset, don't think that I'm any better. I'm just talking about an average mindset that we have here. We'll push our jobs so far, but then if they come and say, you got to cool this down, guess what you do? If we come around our friends and we start talking and they start distancing themselves a little bit, we have a tendency to back off so that we can maintain our relationships with our family and or our friends. But we say in the opening statement that we would love for God to open our minds so that we might comprehend the Scriptures. And we look at what the apostles did, and we look at what we're doing. Success is not brought on by hoping that it will happen. Success is brought on by hard work. There's no other real way. Now, if you have money, you can slide in on the back end and have money to jump on a new idea. Like, anybody ever, I know y'all have seen this, it's a Wonderful Life, right? It's a great movie, man. I love those second chance movies. What the life would have been like, what they thought they would have wanted, but then they realized how great their life really was. I love those movies. Anyway, the point I'm making in this little bit is there was plastic come around. This was when plastic, they didn't have plastics like we have today. What they were making was the plastics for the, I think it was for the airplanes, right? And the guy was able to jump in on it, get in on the ground level, and he made, you know, millions, billions, whatever back then would have been good money, right? And he jumped in on it. So, you know, you can slide in and make money. But success comes with hard work, and it comes with sacrifice. And I don't think that we would want it to be any other way with God. Do you want somebody who is better off than you, who may have benefited from someone else, do you really want them to be able to slide in the back way with God? Do you think that that's fair, or are you just jealous that they got to do it and you didn't? You see, we don't want it another way with God. We want everyone to come the same way, with hard work, with sacrifice, with dedication, right? With stick-to-itiveness, with a willing to do it God's way. We want to get the depth of the apostles, then we got to do it the way that they did it, don't we? Or do we want to slide in some other way? Jesus said that there is a wall and there is a gate. The ones that come in over the walls, they're thrown out. The only way that you can come in is through the gate, and the gate is Christ. Revelation 2:17, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one except him, no one knows except him who receives it." Just a little side note, some people say that name is Christian, but that's a name that we know now. So that's not the name that he's talking about. We're a new creation. We're going to be a new person. We're going to be a new thing. If I remembered you as who you are, I would also remember the pains. I would also remember your joys and your failures. Same way with me. No. When we overcome and we go through that judgment and we get placed on the new heaven and new earth, it's a whole new program. You'll be there, but you'll have your real name. The name that'll be there forever. The name that was written from the beginning of the foundation of the world. But what I want us to see here is the hidden manna. See, we know there is depth to the Word. This is what Jesus is telling the churches. For those that are interested in understanding God, not just knowing about Him, not just knowing He's there, not just acknowledging Him, not just fulfilling a debt that, okay, you died for me, so you know the least I can do is come to church, right? The least I can do is put a little bit of money in the offering plate, right? I'm talking about the depth of understanding God Almighty and having a relationship with the Creator of the universe through the blood of His Son, through the sacrifice and the tears and the pain that it directly cost you. He says there's depth to the Word. He's telling the churches this. Do you think the apostles understood a little of that hidden manna? Well, when the Bible says they opened their understandings to comprehend the Scriptures, I think that they had a better taste of it than we ever would. So how do we find this depth? I mean, we've talked a little bit about it. Are you interested in understanding God in a deeper way? Are you interested in understanding someone who loved you so much that they were willing to sacrifice for you? You interested in that? To find some sort of depth in a relationship. Oh, hey, there's so-and-so. Hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? It's been nice to see you. We need to catch up. Yeah, we'll have to get together sometime. I haven't seen you in a long time. Yeah, and then you just kind of go away. You have a little five-minute conversation. See, that's no depth. You don't want that shallow interaction. When you talk to your spouse, when you talk to your friend, you want to have deep conversations. You want to have somebody that you can be vulnerable to and let them know the real you and to talk to you and to help you through things. You want some depth in your life. We know a lot of people, but how many friends do we really have? You know what? In life, you're lucky if you have two. You're really lucky if you have two real good friends. And a lot of times that would look back in high school and that part of your life and you had a good friend and now y'all parted company. And as an adult, it's very difficult to make friends. I'm talking about real friends, not just acquaintances that come by and have casual talk, but to make real friends. It's tough as an adult. And then sometimes you'll run across those. And so those are the two friends if you're lucky. If you found more than that, you did really well. Because most people just aren't interested in the depth of your life. Most people aren't interested in you. Or you're not just that interested in other people, right? You just don't want to take the time. So we can understand that trying to take the time and get the depth that God is talking about to have the understanding that the apostles did, this is some serious work that's involved. So how do we find this depth? Mark 6, 7 through 8. And He called the 12 to Himself, and He began to send them out two by two. And He gave them power over unclean spirits. And He commanded them not to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts. Can you imagine me and you setting out on a road trip? Like going on vacation. You got clothes on. You don't take any extra things. No two tunics. No nothing to change into, right? Just you and me. We get into a car. It's got a full tank of gas. And we start driving. No money. No food. We just start driving. Doesn't even make sense, does it? You know who you're going to rely on that journey? The person sitting next to you. Because you're going to need their help and they're going to need yours to make it through this. Because you're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to have to be in two places at once. You're going to have to do two things at once. You're going to need someone to have your back. Now, I think when Jesus did this, He was showing that the Holy Spirit would be with us, and that's the next person we're going to talk about here. But when He sent them out two by two, He wanted us to understand one thing. One way that we can find that depth is really to learn to depend on each other as Christians. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? You know why? Because we fail each other at times. We make decisions that you don't think were right. We think they may have been right, but you didn't. We have to learn to rely on each other as Christians. That means there has to be a level of trust with me, right? That if you tell me something that I wouldn't tell anybody else, if you needed me for something, that I would do my best to get there. It doesn't mean that I would be able to take care of your need, but I would do my best to do something, right? We're a body that works together. One of the ways to understand the depth that God is trying to get us to see, to find that depth, is to realize that we ourselves are not enough. We need each other. And when you're not here, you may not like that I call you or that someone calls you or that we reach out to you or that we come to you, but we need you here because we need each other. This is not about money being put in the plate. This is not about seats being filled so when someone comes in that we have a quota. We don't answer to anyone but God and each other. We need each other here. You need me. I need you. And if we understand that, then we start to get into that realm of depth that God wants us to have to understand. John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. See, this is an actual person. It's a spirit, it's a spiritual person, but it's an actual person. God refers to Him as Him. He's every bit as much real as you are, and He takes up residence in you. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Another way is to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you want to start getting into the depth that God wants us to have with the Word of God that we say we want, here's two good ways to start doing that. To rely on one another. To let the Holy Spirit interpret the Word of God as it was written, not the way man wants to interpret it. Start following the leadings of the things that He wants out of your life, not necessarily the things that you want out of life. And they're not always going to be different. They're not always going to be different. I know when God comes into your life, He comes into your life to make a change. If He didn't come into your life to make a change, then you were okay the way that you were. Do you really think that? No. So we expect that God's going to make a change. And for some of us, that requires a lot of change. And for some of us, it doesn't require as much. But whatever that change will be for each individual, it will be life-changing. Now, how much it impacts you is how much you listen to that correction, how much you listen to that way of life. So when you have the Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, the Christians are the examples of those struggling, those that help you along that journey, and the Holy Spirit is the guide to both of them. Remember, He sent them out two by two. He never sent them out alone. We are never alone, ever. It may seem that way, but we are never alone. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. These apostles knew that their walk was going to lead them to death, just as they had saw in Jesus. And the struggles that they had were so much that they almost welcomed that death. Wow, what a life to live, to serve God, huh? But he tells you why that they did this, so that they wouldn't trust in themselves. Well, that's what you back up. We just said that the Christian doesn't rely on himself. The Christian trusts and relies on the other Christian. And both of those Christians trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we're both going the same way with the same purpose. Dependence on Him, no matter the situation. That the way that you have your life set up is that no matter what happens, the first person that you trust that's going to be there for you and that you look for is God. Is this how we desire the depth of Scripture? That we trust in Him even though we know that our walk will lead us to death? Is this how we desire the depth of Scripture? You see, you would think that the deeper you get into God, the more dependence that would bring about in your life, right? No. The more dependent you are on God, the more depth you have to your walk. If you don't trust in God, but just a little, right, when the times are bad and you need a little helping hand, okay, we've all been there, then you're not going to have a lot of depth in your understanding of God. Because you're serving a God in your mind that's only going to help you when you're down or when you need something. That's not the God we serve. Our God is much bigger than that. The more that you learn to depend on God, the greater depth you will have in your understanding of Him. We saw that in the apostles, didn't we? See, Matthew 27, 49 through 50. The rest said, "Let him alone." This was when Jesus was hanging on that tree. They said, "No, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. When Jesus was nailed to that tree, how much dependency do you think He had upon Himself to get Him out of that situation? He had fully submitted to God. And His full dependency was on the Father's mercy. The Father holding to the plan of salvation that they had set up. He was fully dependent on the Lord, on God. As Jesus walked, who was He dependent on? Did He carry two tunics? Did He have a place where He called home? Now, I know He had a house because He had a mother, He had a father and all that. But as He started His journey, when He left that house as we do and we go somewhere, He had nowhere to be. He had nowhere to lay His head. He tells you that. He was always dependent upon God. Do we have this type of dependency on God? That He would come and rescue us? Acts 2:31, "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that His soul was not left in Hades, nor did His flesh see corruption." Christ had so much dependency upon the Father that the promise of the Father, which was the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is what He had when He was immersed by John, and He was the only one that got it from John. The Bible says that the Spirit came upon Him, alighted upon Him, and it did not depart. That when Christ died, when He was hanging on that tree, He had the dependency on God. He was there, and if God had not fulfilled His promise, When Christ died and he went in the ground, the Bible says the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. That's the same Holy Spirit that we have. If God had not fulfilled his promise, Christ would have been left there. His soul would have been left in Hades. And you say, well, no, that's not right. He was God. He could do anything. No, no. We just read it. God promised him. He says, I will not leave your soul in Hades. See, every breath that Christ took, everything that he preached brought him closer to a death that was going to end up here. That God had to fulfill the same promise that he made to all of us, that he would not abandon us. And Christ was always dependent upon that promise. Are you? Do we desire the depth of God to the point where we are willing to make ourselves more dependent upon him than we are on ourselves? Now, that doesn't take away any of our responsibility, right? I mean, if your shoes wear out, your feet are going to get sore. So you're going to need new shoes. You don't expect God just to bring you a pair of shoes, right? Nor do you expect you to walk around barefoot and your feet not to hurt because you serve God. See, we have a reasonable responsibility living in this life to do some of the most reasonable things. Go to the grocery store, right? God's not going to deliver the groceries for you. He's not even going to pay for them. We have a reasonable responsibility in this world, but I'm talking about a dependency upon God that will bring a depth to your walk that nobody can touch. That nobody can touch. Christ had this level of dependency. Do we have this level of dependency? See, we think that Jesus paid the price and he was the only one, so we live free. Well, you know, he did pay the price and we do live free. But he wasn't the only one that understood that kind of dependency upon God. The apostles understood what Christ went through, didn't they? Because they went out and taught the truth, people took their heads. People killed them. Some of them, according to history, were even crucified, like Christ did, was. So, the apostles understood what Christ went through. You know what he went through? Was having that dependency upon God. Did Christ have a depth of Scripture? Of course he did. Even the people who understood and read the law and were pros at the law, they said, where did this man get his teaching from? Where did he understand this? Where did this wisdom come from? You see, Christ's depth of understanding and knowledge in Scripture came from his sole dependency upon God. The apostles' understanding and depth of Scripture came from their sole dependency upon Christ. They understood. So shouldn't we, if we want to be like them, shouldn't at some point in our life we should come to a place where we can understand the dependency that the apostles had on Christ? Shouldn't we at some point in our life come to a place where we understand the dependency that Christ even had on God? Go back to your opening statement. What was the opening statement? That he opened their understanding so that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And we thought, wow, what a wonderful thing that we would understand what God is talking about. But then as we start to really think what it takes to get that depth, are we prepared to do it? Are we going to entertain the thought of doing it? See, it's easy when you're sitting here right now thinking, you know, I think I can do this. Then you go out there and you got your TV shows and you got work and you got friends and you got sleepy time and you got relaxed time and you got go eat things you're not supposed to time and you got all this great stuff to do, right? And I love every bit of it. But I'm at a place in my walk where I realize that I spent a lot of time thinking that I was growing, and I felt like that I looked back and I was a little shallow in things. I want to have more depth in my walk. I want to have more depth to my teaching. I want us to grow closer to one another and to Christ. And there's only one way that that's going to happen. And that is for the dependency upon Christ in our life. Find a way to get closer to God. And I don't mean just come up with your own idea. I've given you some. Do you trust me? Do I trust you? Pretty tough right there, isn't it? That's real tough stuff. God is not going to let you down. Christ had that dependency on God that God said that when you die and they put your body to rest, I will not leave you there. And you will stay so little time that your body will not even see corruption. I will raise you from the dead. And as Christ was dying, you know that that was on his mind. That was the man that was dying. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You know why that was easy for him to go to the cross? And I don't mean that it was actually easy, but I'm just saying, do you know why he could go to the cross? Because he depended upon Christ, he depended upon the Father in life just as much as he depended upon Father when he hung on that tree. He says, I trust you here, and I will trust you here. No matter the situation, my dependency is upon you. And if I go there, I will trust you as just as much as if I woke up from a king's bed. Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, he really had to believe and have his dependency upon that message. Because from that day forward, it completely separated him. See, all the way through Scripture, when we look at Acts, these apostles were going out teaching, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, doing miracles in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, right? Doing all these things in the name of Jesus. And they were constantly being caught by the Pharisees, commanded not to teach in this man's name, beat, and then sent out. He had to have complete dependency upon that message that from this point on, I will live for Christ. And he got beat because of Christ, and he went away rejoicing. See, that's depth of understanding. That's dependency upon God. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?